Good morning, and welcome to the Audit Committee meeting for April 2nd, 2026. I am Chair Castaneda, and this meeting is called to order. I am participating remotely from the publicly accessible location included on the agenda, and I am posted the agenda at that location. Votes taken today will be done by roll call. Nicole, can you please call the roll?
Chair Castaneda?
I'm here.
Directors Douglas?
Here.
Freehoff?
Present.
Paul?
Yes, present.
Scalzetti?
Here.
Chair Castaneda, you have a quorum of the committee.
Wonderful, thank you. Item number two, additions to the agenda. I see that there are no additions to the agenda. Is that still the case?
There are none.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving along, number three, public comment. Are any members of the public who wish to speak and address the committee on items contained in this agenda? Nicole?
Calling on public comment for matters on the audit committee agenda or within the jurisdiction of the committee. If there are public speakers online, please raise your hand through the Zoom app or press star 9 if listening by phone. I see none.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Item number four is the chair's report. Since this is the first meeting of this period, I will have no report and we'll move to the next item. Number five is to approve the audit committee meeting minutes. And I understand that we didn't have a lot of folks here today that were here last year. So is it a motion to approve the minutes or make any changes appropriate for the October 30th, 2025 meeting?
And I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and second.
Chair Castaneda?
Yes.
Directors Douglas?
Yes.
Freehoff?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Scalzetti?
Yes.
And I was a yes.
I'm a yes too. So the item passes. Okay, great. Consent calendar, we have no consent items. Number two is action discussion and presentation. We have four items under the action discussion presentation today. Number one is Sharon Ayala, CPA of Davis Farr LLP. We'll kick things off with an overview of our audit process. Are there any questions or comments before we start the presentation? Nope.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Am I good? Mm-hmm. Can you, is it on?
Shannon, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. As mentioned, I'm here to discuss the audit process for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2026. This is the planning phase of the audit, and we're going to talk about the scope and timing, the audit engagement letter, our identification of audit risk, and the communication to those in governance, which is this meeting. So the audit engagement letter did change from the prior year due to the fact that we'll be having a single audit this year. So the Water Authority has expenditures in excess of $1 million that require the federal compliance, the separate federal compliance audit. So that is included in the audit engagement letter that is included with the packet. We did briefly discuss this at the audit committee meeting last year. However, it wasn't completed due to the timing of expenditures.
Oh, Shannon, just to be clear, it's the grants received for the desal plant, just so you all know. So whenever we receive monies from the federal government in excess of $1 million, which we did when we got the monies from the desal plant, it automatically triggered the need for an audit.
Correct. Okay, the scope and timing for the audit. So the scope of the regular audit hasn't changed since the prior year, but as mentioned, we will have an additional single audit this year in which we will audit programs and grants that exceed $1 million. The purpose of the audit is to express an opinion that the financial statements are free of material misstatement and then to review compliance with uniform guidance for federal expenditures. The timing of the audit, the interim fieldwork is scheduled for April 20th to 24th of this month. Mm-hmm. Single audit testing will complete in July, and then our final fieldwork will be from August 24th to September 4th. Just a reminder that the auditor's responsibilities are to identify and assess the risk of material misstatement, obtain an understanding of internal controls, evaluate accounting policies and estimates, and then perform tests of compliance with laws and regulations. So we do that as during this meeting, meetings with the Water Authority staff, our review of board and committee meeting minutes, and then information that we obtain throughout the year. Management's responsibilities are the preparation and fair presentation of the financial statements, the design and implementation of the internal controls to inform us of any known or suspected fraud, and then accuracy and completeness of information provided. So this year, we've already identified some risk areas as a result of changes in accounting standards, discussions with staff, and just knowledge of the overall Water Authority. So auditing standards do require management's override of controls and revenue recognition to be identified as a risk. And this is identified as an inherent risk. So not necessarily because we think anything is incorrect or, you know, anything nefarious is happening. It's just because of the inherent risk that management has the authority to do so, that we do identify that as a risk. And in the next slides, I'll discuss how we address those risks. Mm-hmm. Same with revenue recognition. And then capital assets and construction in progress are such a significant portion of the Water Authority's balance sheet that this is really a significant risk area pretty much every year, just due to the sheer nature of and volume of transactions. And then compliance with uniform guidance for federal expenditures. As mentioned, that's related to the DSAL expenditures. And then there is a new accounting standard this year, GASB 103, that's related to financial reporting. I'll discuss a little bit, and then Chris has more detail on that later in the meeting. And then lastly, each year we're required to do a test of unpredictability, and we use information from this meeting as well as other sources to determine that test. So addressing the risks, management override of controls, we do this, we address this risk by testing manual and non-routine journal entries that are completed towards the end of the year. We review significant or unusual transactions, and then we evaluate estimates and judgments made by management. For revenue recognition, we confirm revenue and receivables with member agencies. We review contract terms and select transactions across the year to ensure that revenues are being recognized properly and in accordance with accounting principles. And then for capital assets and construction in progress, we test the additions and disposals, including construction in progress. We review capital versus expense classification, and then we verify that the projects that are in CIP relate to active and approved projects. A single audit will be new for the Water Authority this year. So we do evaluate internal controls for each applicable compliance area, and then we test the compliance with applicable areas for each major program. And then lastly, the new accounting standard GASB 103, the primary effects of this are changes to the management's discussion and analysis. That's a report in the final ACFR that sort of goes over certain things that happen throughout the year. It's really management's explanation of why things change at the Water Authority from year to year. And Additionally, there will be some changes to the actual financial statements as far as classification of operating versus non-operating revenues. Again, Chris will go over that a little bit more in detail. And with that, I can answer any questions that any of you may have over the process.
Anybody have any questions?
Yes, Director Freehall.
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't sure who to turn to. Again, I wasn't on the audit committee last year, so I'm just curious. And again, I'm not fluent in accounting speak, audit speak, so I may not get it right. But what were there any findings last year? Was there any, as far as the audit goes, corrections that needed to be made?
Seems like a lifetime ago.
I know. I apologize. It must not have been anything major if you can't remember. But
I'm sorry,
it was a clean opinion.
Excuse me?
It was a clean opinion. Yeah, that's
okay.
The highest that you can receive.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Hearing none. Number two, next. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Number two is Chris Wojcik, controller, will discuss the audit committee responsibilities. Chris?
Oh, actually, I'm sorry, Chair Castaneda. I just had a few comments. I wanted to welcome our two new members. So thank you for joining the committee, Tim Douglas and Dana Freehall. We're really excited about your participation. And then I wanted to introduce our new senior or supervising accounting manager, Andrea Halshaw. She replaced Wendy Joplin, who retired, and she used to prepare the financial statements and work with the auditor. And so now she's been promoted and we're recruiting her replacement. So congratulations, Andrea. And then I also wanted to just recognize the staff and that we've received a GFOA Award of Excellence, which is the highest you can achieve. And it's our 26th year of receiving it. So again, thank you to Chris and his team.
Wonderful.
And I'll turn it back over to Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Lisa Marie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Chair Castaneda. And yes, I'm Chris Wojcik. I'm the controller in the finance department. And this first item on the agenda, the audit committee responsibilities, in that we have two new directors on the audit committee. We thought it'd be helpful to go over the responsibilities for the committee. Mm-hmm. So the audit committee is a standing advisory committee responsible for the following five matters. Number one, recommending selection of the independent auditor or auditing firm, including participation in the selection process. Now, that's not an action item for work task for the committee this year, because that contract was awarded a few years ago. That's already been completed. Number two, oversight of the audit contract and the annual audit. Now, at that time, a three-year contract was awarded covering fiscal years 24 through fiscal year 26. So this is the third year of that contract. There are two one-year extension options for fiscal year 27 and fiscal year 28. And the audit fee for the current audit is $58,800. And for the single audit that will be required is $4,010. Number three, oversight of supplemental audits or agreed upon procedures, including audits of member agency obligations within the scope of the audit contract. Oh, I'm sorry. Was I you? Thank you. within the scope of the audit contract, as the committee determines are necessary or appropriate. Now, we can say that we don't have any projects or any agreed upon procedures engagements with the auditor that have been included in the adopted budget for fiscal year 26-27, and we don't have any planned projects to date either. And then responsibility number four, review of the annual audit, including all portions of the associated annual comprehensive financial report or ACFR at one or more public meetings, and provision of a report recommendations to the board based upon the review. This will be something that we will handle at the third audit committee meeting. We'll have a presentation on how the audit went. Shannon Ayala will also give a presentation and how the audit was conducted. And then we will certainly make available the ACFR document for the audit committee to review, as well as the full board. We made it available at the same time last year, and we'll continue with that practice. And then item number five, preparation of an annual report to the board summarizing its activities, actions, and recommendations, which report may be combined with a report of recommendations on the annual audit. This again is something that we will discuss and complete after the third audit committee meeting has concluded. And
why don't you pause and see if there's any questions?
Yes, I was going to say, Chair Cassidy, that concludes the formal comments. And if there are any questions from any of the audit committee members, we'll be happy to answer them.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Chris. And any questions or comments from the committee?
Yes. So, Chris, just on
So just on point number two, will we be discussing that at the end of this year's sessions?
At the third audit committee meeting, correct.
Thank you.
Because if we pursue the RFP process, that would begin next calendar year. So we would consult with the committee at that time, yes.
Great, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? All right, number three, we're going to continue with Chris Wojcik's show here, and he'll review the 2026 work plan calendar. Chris?
All right. Oh, thank you again, Chair Castaneda. Yes, we just wanted to quickly provide an overview of the audit timeline and then speak more on the single audit work that'll be performed. I'll actually be sharing this with Gina Balstieri, and let me turn it over to her.
Thank you, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are no changes to the audit schedule from last year. So the plan to close the FY 2026 is set for August 3rd, which will conclude all the financial activities for the year. And we will send the full ACFR to the auditors on September 14th. So they have everything they need to do their review. By September 30th, we will provide them the finalized ACFR and an audit opinion will be issued. We will give audit committee members up to 2 weeks in October to review the completed ACFR. And then by the November 19th, the chair of this committee will present the ACFR to the board. So that's kind of wrap up all the key dates of our audit plan, and the more details you can see from the slide.
Okay, thank you, Gina. And I'll just conclude on this talking quickly about our single audit that Shannon touched on. So we will be having a single audit for this year, and it's different from a financial statement audit. It's more programmatic, looking at the grant, making sure we complied with the grant terms. As Shannon had mentioned, if there are $1 million or more in expenditures on a given grant, it triggers the requirement for the single audit, which we'll have this year. There is unique reporting required for it. The Water Authority has some responsibilities on completing a schedule and filing that with the federal government. The auditors have issued reports as well on internal controls and on compliance with federal awards. So that will be completed once that work is done. It's significant for us because we haven't had a single audit since 2006. So it's something that staff will be learning on how this is completed. So now the reason for the single audit, as Lisa Marie had touched on, it's because of the Carlsbad desalination, the intake and discharge facilities. That grant award was a great win for the Water Authority. It was a little over $19 million that we've received. So we have received those monies from the Bureau of Reclamation. That was a difficulty in part last year, was the timing on the receipt of that. And we have received those monies. Now, there is potential for another single audit to have to be conducted, and it is on another Bureau of Reclamation grant. It's on a Water Smart grant. It's about $3 million. So potentially we could have one. If not, it'll move to fiscal year 27. And that has to do with work that's restoration work on the San Luis Rey habitat management area. And that's one of the approved projects in the CIP. So we're monitoring that. And that was a good win for our grants team to pursue federal funds for that. And we were awarded for that. And at the second audit committee, we'll be giving you an update on how the single audit progressed. And Chair Cassidy, that concludes my formal comments on the timeline.
On three. Okay. Yes. Any questions or comments from the committee? Hearing and seeing none, we'll move to number four, which is the last item. Chris, we discussed the new revenue and expense classifications that are required for GASB 103.
Thank you. Yes, GASB 103, this will have a big impact on the Water Authority, as well as for all governmental agencies will be affected by this. And in particular, proprietary funds, water districts, there will be an impact to them. Now, it's recognized that there are a lot of different accounting policies that exist between agencies, and this new GASB is going to standardize things, make things provide more clarity and uniformity. So that, for example, a given water district can compare their financial statements to another water district and be able to understand them because there'll be uniformity in the presentation. Now, with what Shannon has said, just a couple of things, management's discussion and analysis that is included in the front of the ACRA document. They're just wanting to more reinforcement of why things have happened, like why there's a change in balances, why there's a change in activities. And so there'll be more discussion that we'll be including in our ACRA on that. Another big item is a disclosure or call out on unusual or infrequent items. Certainly those warrant discussion, and we want to make sure that they're identified separately so that they don't serve to distort regular operations, regular earnings, because that can influence, you know, profitability, but they're going to be called out separately. And then third and last is really a reviewing of all the revenues and expenses, something that we've done. We've had to examine all of our revenues and expenses, and we're still going through that exercise. Our auditors have actually looked at the work that we've done and given us some input on that. But I'm sure as more governmental agencies advance through this, there's going to be a lot more questions, and there probably is going to be some more refinement that comes from GASB on this. But we're pleased that we've taken an advanced start on this. And so the next slide. And so just quickly, we did want to report on how GASB 103 would have looked. So we recasted fiscal year 25's financial statements, the statement of revenue, expenses, and changes in net position, if we had implemented the standard a year ago. And so this is just very high level information at the, you know, main category level, like operating revenues and expenses, as well as totals. Now, the column that's hidden, that's highlighted in gray, that's the audited numbers from fiscal year 25. The column right next to it, that's what the numbers would have been had we implemented GASB 103 a year ago. And then there's a change column. So just quick, and I will speak more to what these changes are in this on the upcoming slides, but just high level, our operating revenues would have increased by about $70 million. Our operating expenses would have increased by about $12 million. And we have a new category called capital, non-capital subsidies, which just represents a reclassification of revenues and expenses based on the determination of the revenues and expenses themselves. I'll speak to that a little bit more later. The non-operating revenues and expenses that we had, that category has really decreased. GASB has been very particular in what would be included as a non-revenue or non-operating revenue and expense. And then our capital contributions, that component that we had shown for many years, that actually be going away. Those revenues will be reclassed to a different area. And then, of course, the call out on the unusual item, which for our case, it was the detachment proceeds. That was a very unusual and infrequent transaction. Certainly does not happen very often, or would continue to happen, but it's a large material amount. So that's something that warrants a call out. And then, yes, yeah, so let me just quickly speak to what the changes are at more of a detailed level. So for the operating revenues, the $70 million increase that we're going to be seeing is, again, from classifying new revenues up. So the what's shown in black, those were the categories of revenues that were already there. So water sales and other revenues were already a component of operating revenues. But what we're now adding is infrastructure access charges, the capacity charges, and other income. That'll be included in those categories. The infrastructure access charge, this is something that's actually billed to the member agencies. They actually pay that to us. It's on the water bill itself. Even in the rate model itself, it's included as water revenues directly. Capacity charges, those are revenues. They represent hookup fees for us. We are not collecting capacity charges to build or expand the system. So it's purely connection fees, purely an operating revenue. And then again, a minor amount of other income that we reclassed up as well.
So what's other income?
what is in this category is like encroachment fees. We have the hydroelectric operations. We do generate some minor amount of revenue on that. Plan fees, we do plan checks. So these types of revenues are now okay. Lease revenue. Those are revenues that are included in that category. Mm-hmm. Yes, another bucket. And so for our operating expenses just below that, again, the cost of sales and depreciation, those remain the same. And then we see the other components of operating expenses being our operations and maintenance costs, planning and general administrative. Those remain the same. It's just that some of those dollar amounts, those categories will be going higher because we're moving more monies or expenses into those categories. And then we have a category called project expenses, write-off and other expenses. These relate to capital projects that we can't capitalize. So for example, feasibility studies, there are accounting rules that specifically state you have to expense those costs, but yet they're funded through the capital improvement program. Same thing with our master plan, which we wrapped up a year ago. So those represent projects that we did not pursue, but we're going to be reclassing those expenses up into the operating expenses category. And then, so the non-capital subsidies, this is going to be increasing. This is a new category. I guess the best way to speak to it would be speaking to an example, which would be property taxes. So this is revenue that we receive. It doesn't represent water sales revenue, but rather it comes from owners of property within the county. And we're not actually providing a good and service to them directly. It's just something that's on their tax bill. Had we also not received that revenue, rates and charges would be higher. So that's an example of a subsidy. So the property taxes and the cities in lieu that is paid to the Water Authority, that's now moving into this category. The water standby availability charges as well. And these are material amounts. It's about $10 million for that. And that also is an amount that's on the property tax bill. And so that's why it represents a subsidy. We do have other intergovernmental income that we receive, like the BAB subsidy, for example. And that the BAB subsidy is when we issued the BABs bonds, the Build America bonds, the Congress was essentially subsidizing the interest expense. So every year we receive money from the federal government to offset the interest expense. And that is quite material to us. But that's another example of a subsidy. We're not providing any good or service. We're receiving these monies. And again, our revenues wouldn't be as high had we not, our rates and charges would be higher if we were not receiving that type of income.
Chris, you mentioned that these Build America bond subsidy, the money that comes to the Water Authority is material. Could you remind me how much that is annually?
Yes, it is.
Roughly.
The Build America bonds are $10.6 million a year. And that fluctuates a little bit based on congressional action, but it's a material amount of money that we receive annually.
And we were accounting for it. You're just reclassifying it.
Yes. And at least, Marie, thank you for pointing that out. There is no change in net position or earnings. It's just moving the revenues and expenses between different buckets, if you will. Yes. And then our grant programs as well, we receive monies from the Department of Water Resources. We receive monies from the federal government as well as MWD for the conservation programs. And those represent subsidies as well that are moving into this category from the non-operating grants section. And then just beneath that, capital contributions, again, this section is going away entirely. Those revenues are being reclassed to other areas. And just two more. So on our non-operating revenues and expenses, GASB is very particular on what the costs, revenues, and expenses would represent in this area. So investment income, again, that's not something we're in business for, is to earn interest on our earnings. So that's purely a non-operating revenue. If we sell assets, there are times when we sell assets that we no longer need or they're fully depreciated for scrap and whatnot, we will generate some revenue. That's not an operating revenue. debt, you know, debt financing costs. So interest expense on our debt, debt issuance costs. Those are expenses that are also non-operating. And even the desal shortfall revenues that we receive. So the plant will from time to time make a payment if they're not able to perform to meet the standards, they make a payment to the Water Authority. The Water Authority doesn't receive those funds directly, they actually go to the bond trustee. They're deposited in that account and are used to pay for the debt. And so those are the categories that remain in the non-operating revenues and expenses section. And then just after that is the last table is the unusual and frequent items. We do not expect this to appear very often at all. We're showing it here because it pertained to fiscal year 25. And again, that item, that unusual item was the detachment proceeds that we received. They were, that was a material amount, about $16 million in that year.
So Chris, the water transfer revenues, how will that be treated?
No different than regular operating revenue. That represents water sales and be water sales revenue. Yep.
Chair. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay. That the extent of your presentation on this item, Chris?
There's some questions, Chair.
Okay, go ahead, please.
All right, because I know in the audit we need to compare fiscal years. So how are we going to match them up when we have to report so differently in this fiscal year versus last fiscal year? How are we going to compare?
Yes, so Water Authority, we show a two-year presentation. So fiscal year 26 is going to be as if GASB 35, GASB 103 was, GASB 103 with it being enacted. So all of the new revenues and expenses we're reporting according to that. And fiscal year 25, because we show a comparative year, we're also going to be showing that full year recasted as well, according to GASB 103.
Okay, so you're going to take fiscal year 25 and apply these same standards so we can compare. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I know we have new GASB regulations every year. There's all new ones, sometimes a handful of them. Mm-hmm. Do new ones ever replace the old ones, or they're just going to keep going? Or, I mean, how do you sort all this out? I mean, I know they just want to improve the standards, but
they probably
improve their own standards.
And I will add, many of the GASB standards don't even apply to the Water Authority. This particular one has a big implication, but from a lot of times they apply, I mean, that Shannon will respond, but a lot more applicable to city and government mm-hmm. Entities more so than a utility, but this one is going to impact everybody.
Yeah. Normally it's an improvement. It's on. Can you not hear? Okay. Normally it's an improvement upon an existing standard or something that already exists. So for example, the management's discussion and analysis, that's part of GASB 34. And they have always had sort of guidelines in preparing that, but have found through reading ACFRs from all different types of agencies that the explanations sometimes become a little stale, boilerplate language, if you will. So this standard in particular seeks to improve that. So really guiding agencies to explain why something happened instead of just saying something increased or decreased, really giving like the underlying factors for that. So again, every once in a while, there's a totally new accounting standard related to something, but most of the time it's improvements upon existing accounting standards. And luckily they've slowed down a bit, but you're right. There are some years where there's multiple accounting standards to implement.
And this one, GASB 103, is a very big one. It's affecting all agencies and some more than others. So it's a lot of work on staff in finance departments this year.
I just want to comment this. I sometimes get too much in the weeds, but I
don't. And Chair Castaneda, I have one more slide, if you will advance it one more. Because sure. We were curious on how the impact of this standard on our debt service coverage ratio. So we pro forma that as well. And this slide actually is taken from our ACFR itself. We have a table back in the statistical section. And that of what is shaded in gray represents the revenues and expenses for to compute our debt service coverage ratio. And again, we closed last fiscal year with a 1.63 ratio. Now, had we implemented GASB 103 at that time, it would have changed to 1.57. Again, not very concerning. We're still above the threshold, and it's something that we can easily manage, but we did want to make sure that we reported out on the effect of this new GASB on our debt service coverage ratio. And Chair Cassidy, that formally concludes my comments.
Okay, good, good. I apologize. I saw 404 and I thought that might've been the end, but I did have one question though. Can you go back to the first slide in this packet here? Which sort of ties into the fourth slide. Okay. Not the single, I could not, I mean, excuse me, this one section here, 104, there you go. So I was looking at, you know, when you move things around, so In you had capacity charges that currently or previously had been non-operating revenue, and I see we're in slide 404, you removed it from non-operating revenue. But how do you reconcile that when the proceeds that we receive from those charges go into operation, whether it's, you know, construction projects or things like that? I guess I just don't understand why it wouldn't have been operating revenues all along.
Yes, and that is something that this new GASB is serving to correct, is to make sure it's standardized amongst all agencies. And I will add on that, yes, because there are some water districts that include or show these capacity charges as an operating revenue already anyways. The Water Authority did not. We refer to as capital contributions. And in part because those revenues were specifically earmarked for the capital improvement program to pay for construction projects. Okay. Now, even though we're moving it from a capital contributions category up into operating revenues, that does not change the use of those monies. Those monies are still being earmarked for our capital improvement programs for maintaining our assets.
But to further clarify, there's some discretion in the past about how these things were categorized, and that's why they implemented GASB 103, because Chris came on and that's what we use. That's what we've always done. And so this offers clarification so that it's a standard across all entities. And I think that's the goal of this standard. Okay. Is that correct, Shannon?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Well, it just made sense to me. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting that we wouldn't count that. But anyway, no, you've answered it. And it sounds like this, 103 rule is something that was probably needed just so everybody has the same kind of documents laid out the same way. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Any other questions from the committee on sub item number 4? No? Okay. Well, if that's the case, we go to item number 3, which is information, which we have no new informational items unless that's changed. Lisa Marie or Chris?
No, Chris has one more comment.
Okay. Yes. We just wanted to, before the meeting concludes, just speak on what the topics will be for the second audit committee meeting. So any type of accounting changes that happen or new pronouncements, the impact of those, we'll bring them before the committee and comment on them. In particular, significant financial things that we're working through, we'll give an update to the committee on the single audit, the progress of that. Mm-hmm. The GASB 103 implementation, any further refinements, and how the financial statements will be looking with this new standard implemented. And that will be at our second audit committee meeting, which is late September. I don't have yet.
September 24th.
September 24th. So please make sure it's on your calendar.
Thank you.
And then lastly, if I may, are the water transfer agreements, the all important topic. We have one that has been signed and there's discussions on other ones. So we'll be coming before the committee and explaining how that accounting will be handled for the Water Authority.
Can you give them just an overview concept just so they understand that once the agreement is signed, that doesn't mean the revenue's been received or the transaction has occurred and how that might impact receipt of money?
Yes. And with the first agreement that was signed, we have two sources of revenue that have come in. One is for the purchase of water, and that will be delivered. So that, I believe it's 10,000 acre feet. That'll be revenue that we receive, and cash that we receive, and we'll be recognizing that as revenue at that time. So our water sales will be, revenue will be higher. We'll be showing the increase in the acre feet for sales. Now, the payments that represent essentially the prepayment of water, we will be recording that. Obviously, yes, we're receiving the cash, but we will not be recognizing it as revenue because we have not delivered the water. And that could happen, that will happen at a future date, an unknown date as of yet. We will be recording it as an unearned revenue, excuse me. That is how we'll be recording. It will be a liability on our books until we actually deliver the water. And at that time, we'll be able to recognize it formally as a revenue, but we will be in possession of the cash, yes.
And so Chris is going to hopefully provide more guidance on for you all, because I know there's a lot of eagerness. You think we already have the money, we could already spend it, but we do have to follow the accounting rules. So we just wanted to start with you all since you are the audit committee.
Thank you. Okay. Chris, anything else?
No, Chair Castaneda. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anything else from the committee before we wrap up?
Just a quick question on that matter. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is when we collect the money, it'll be in a bucket, and we can't spend it until we deliver the water? He didn't say that. Well, that's why I want to clarify.
Go ahead, Chris.
I mean, is there a best practice or is there, I mean, that's where I want to make sure that.
Yes, it is a very good question. It's something that we are evaluating right now. We're going to come before the board and share what our recommendation is.
We're still working with the auditor. So we're trying to get some guardrails around how to manage it properly so we do it right. But we just want to make you all know that there are rules we need to follow, and it is unprecedented. So we just need to make sure we do it right. So just be cautious with the spending.
And we also have to realize that we still have to pay for that water too. It's just not money in our pocket. So there is a cost.
And yes, and so that we will be certainly speaking more on that. I know at our last board meeting, we spoke on the excess revenue policy and what that means. So if we have revenues above what are needed, we'll be coming before the board for recommendations on what to use that for. But with respect to this money that's going to be being received, the prepayments that will be coming in four installments over 4 years, the question is it prudent to spend those monies if we haven't paid for the water yet and we could potentially have to return it. So is it prudent to do that? So we'll be speaking on that at a future board meeting, and maybe a reserve is set up for those monies.
Or trust.
Or trust or something. So we are looking at that. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you go see ahead. Me? Or
go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, I really appreciate this. I'm so glad to hear that you're, forward thinking and making sure that we do this right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I won't be saying anything until we get clarification from you as in regards to, when the money's actually available and all that. Because, yeah, I think that's important. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Shannon, you're going to help us, right?
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Nothing else. I am looking at item number four, which is adjournment until our next meeting, which is September 24th. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. At 11 o'clock is right. Same time?
9 o'clock.
9 a.m. Oh, it's 9 o'clock. Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad you told me. All right. Well, thank you. Adjourned.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.